In the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 through 5. And our title today is For the Sake of the Gospel. For the Sake of the Gospel. So where are we in the book of Acts? Well, you remember, Paul and Barnabas have just split up. And so Paul has taken Silas and he's gone one way. And Barnabas has taken John Mark and he's gone the other way. Barnabas and John Mark went the first way they went on the first missionary journey by way of Cyprus. And then we don't hear much about the rest of their missionary journey, so we don't know where they went after Cyprus. But we know that Paul and Silas went on the land. They didn't go via the sea, and they actually went in the opposite direction of the first missionary journey, and they began from back to front. From the very last town they visited on the first missionary journey, that's where Paul begins, and he works his way backwards. But by doing so, he goes up through the province of Syria and from the church at Antioch and to the province of Cilicia. Now, that's where Paul was originally from. But you may recall, it was the letter that they were supposed to take from the Jerusalem church that told the people not to, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, to abstain from sexual immorality, to abstain from eating strangled animals, and from eating blood. And so this letter that was taken to the Jews and the Gentile churches were going through that region. So that's exactly the route that Paul and Silas took. But then they began strengthening those churches that he and Barnabas went to, but back, from back to front, from last to first. And so where we pick up in this passage today is we pick up in the last town in Derbe and then in Lystra. That's where they meet a young man named Timothy. And so our focus today is going to be on this young man, Timothy, who they meet along the way, and they take him with them on the missionary journeys. And then next week, we're going to see there's someone else right in this passage that they pick up along the way as well. But we'll leave that for next week. So let's have a look at this today's passage. It's Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 through 5.
Son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily.
All right, may the Lord bless his reading of his word to us today and the application thereof into our lives. And so he begins with Derbe and then to Lystra. And as we said, these are those small towns. Remember, Paul and Barnabas were persecuted in Antioch, in Pisidia, and then they fled to Iconium and they preached the word there. Two big towns or big cities, and they preached the word there, but again, also threats of stoning and persecution. And so they fled to the smaller towns of Derbe and Lystra. But they continued to preach the gospel. And it was there in Lystra where Barnabas and Saul were called Zeus and Hermes. This is where the people of that town wanted to worship them because of the healing of that lame man. And so they tore their robes and said, "No, no, no, worship God, don't worship us." But then those Jews who were from Antioch and from Iconium followed them down to Lystra. And they got Paul stoned, dragged him out of the city, and left for dead. But then as the disciples gathered around him, he got up again, went back into that city, and the next day went down to Derbe. Well, now they're back in these small towns again, Derbe and Lystra. And this is where young Timothy is from this town of Lystra. Now let's learn a little bit about Timothy. Timothy at this stage was probably about 18, 19, 20 years old. Late teens, early 20s at the most. But he was highly regarded, not only in his hometown there in Lystra, but also in Iconium as well. Now that's interesting because Iconium was the big city, the big trade city, and Lystra was the small city. But here was this small town boy who was well known not only in his hometown, but well known in the big city of Iconium, the big trade city as well. Highly regarded. And so Paul meets this young Timothy and he holds him in high regard as well. So much so that he says, "I want him to come with me on these missionary journeys." Now, Luke tells us that Timothy's biological father, his dad, was a Greek. By the language in this text and the language we see in the other text of Scripture speaking about Timothy, it's likely, not for sure, but it's very likely that his father is probably deceased at this time, his Greek biological dad. But Paul calls Timothy his true child in the faith. And so let's have a look at a number of texts, those that are written to Timothy in the 1st and 2nd Timothy in those epistles and also to some other churches as well. So let's have a look at how Paul refers to this Timothy.
This reason I did to you, Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord.
Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith.
I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, and also may you cheer when I read news about you.
And so we see not only is Timothy highly regarded in his town and in the city close by, he's highly regarded by Paul in the beginning and then through his ministry as well. And to remember last week, we spoke about the split between Barnabas and Paul, and we said it was over John Mark who deserted them when they went on their first missionary journey. So what happened to John Mark? He went with Barnabas this time. Paul didn't trust him to pull through because he wasn't faithful the first time round. And so John Mark and Barnabas went through Cyprus. And so we see that Barnabas had trained him up and discipled him. And later on in the scriptures, we see he proved faithful and mature. And therefore, he became a companion and a helper of Paul later on as well. But for the time being, we see that Timothy is now replaced young John Mark. Young Timothy has replaced John Mark. And so Paul now takes him and he's faithful right off the bat. He's faithful in the ministry. So we see that Silas has replaced Barnabas because Barnabas and Paul separated. And so Silas, we saw last week, who was Silas? He and Judas were those two men who came from the Jerusalem church with that letter to go to all those other churches, and specifically to the church at Antioch, and to say that this is a real letter from this church, and they were both prophets as well. And the Bible says, Luke tells us, that they encouraged and they strengthened the church in Antioch. So Silas was a prophet. He was an encourager, just like Barnabas was a son of encouragement. And so Silas replaced the son of encouragement as an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And we see Timothy replaced John Mark as the young apprentice, as a lieutenant, a helper, a right-hand man for the Apostle Paul as well. So what lesson can we glean from that? I think the lesson that we can learn from this is that no one is irreplaceable. And I'll say that again. No one is irreplaceable. God does not have a task to do, and there's only one person in all the world that can complete that task. No. That happened once, and it happened once for all. God himself became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on us on the cross for the atonement of our sin. That's the one and only time only one man can complete one task. But other than that, there are tasks that God has in this world to accomplish, and if we don't complete that task, he will bring someone else to do the task. I remember Spurgeon, one of his sermons, speaking about Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, how he denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus couldn't endure and carry that cross that there was heavy upon him, when he was so beaten up during his execution, what did the Roman soldier do? He called Simon of Cyrene. And so in that God's sovereignty, it was another Simon who carried Jesus' cross. And Spurgeon said, because Simon Peter had denied him in that moment, he lost the opportunity to carry the cross. So God had to choose another Simon. You see, no one is irreplaceable. And here we see that Barnabas was replaced by Silas and Mark was replaced by Timothy. You know, it might be self-assuring for us to think, well, only I can do that, or what would people do without me? But you know what? It's not biblical. The biblical mandate is a mandate of discipleship. Discipleship. We disciple one another in the Word of God. We train them up in the Word. We disciple one another indeed. What does the Word say? How do we apply it? The application is, watch me. Let's do it with me. And then there's discipleship in ministry. And therefore, if you look at His People Church, we do not believe in one-man shows. We believe in a church where there's discipleship. So if you're a door greeter, you're not the only door greeter. We have other door greeters. And we have young kids that are at the doors as well. And so the adults are training the kids because there's discipleship. The banners, we use team ministries, the 5x5. It's not left up to one person. The verse of the month, we've got a crew, a group that does it. Our kids' teachers' ministries, wonderful in our church. We had 15 people at the kids' teachers' meeting, and now who are involved in our children's ministry. It's no one-man shows. Our treasury is not a one-man show. Even our preaching, it's not just me who preaches. We have now others that are preaching in the church as well. That's the point, discipleship. And so not one of us is irreplaceable. Amen. So here we see that Silas replaces Barnabas and Timothy replaces John Mark as they split up, as Paul and Barnabas split. But wonderful news is that later on we see they're all serving the Lord again together, but they're all now trained and discipled in the ministry. So the local elders of the church and Paul held a commissioning service for young Timothy. Like you remember in Acts 13, when Paul and Barnabas are set aside by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the church, they lay their hands on them and they set them out on their first missionary journey. And that's where we see Barnabas is now an apostle, apostolos, the Greek word. But an apostle with a small a, because he's sent out and commissioned by the church. But Paul was like the 12 disciples who became apostles. He is directly commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus in that vision. And that's why he is an apostle with a capital A. But Barnabas is commissioned, so he's an apostle. But now we see Silas. Remember last week, Silas now was taken by the church and he was commissioned, hands laid on him. And now he too replaced Barnabas. And now we see in 1 and 2 Timothy, it doesn't say that in this text, but in 1 and 2 Timothy, we see that Timothy as well, hands were laid on him and he was now commissioned to go out in this kind of service. So let's have a look at 1 and 2 Timothy. It's 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you.
For this reason, I reminded you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
And so we see this highly regarded young man, as highly esteemed. He's taken by the elders, the council of the church, and even the Apostle Paul himself, laying their hands on them and commissioning them into ministry and service. Now, have you ever seen this before? If you've been in churches long enough, I'm sure you have, where you've seen these commissioning services, where other elders or teachers, pastors have laid their hands on those and commissioned them as the Lord leads a church to commission into service and into the ministry, ordination, and the laying on of hands. Now, we're told not to be hasty in the laying on of hands, so you don't want to see this happening all the time in the church, but you need to see it at least few and far between, but people being commissioned and ordained into the ministry. So we hope to see this happening in our own church here at His People Church, as this actual week, in fact, today, was supposed to be our first membership service, where the Nordee family and the Langford family, two families that were founding families of His People Church, weeks ago, David and I spoke about it, and we were going to have this first service today. And then from then, other members, and then through that membership, we'll probably see, as Lord willing, as time goes on, even ordination, and hopefully sending people, commissioning people to ministry, and even sending people on mission fields and church planting. Who knows what the Lord has in store for His people. But so here we see the laying on of hands and young Timothy. So Timothy's mother, the Bible says to us, is a believer, and also his grandmother as well. And so his mother and his grandmother taught him the scriptures. How important that is, from his mother and his grandmother. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3.
And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
And so what we see from these texts is that Paul and Barnabas, on their first missionary trip, came to Lystra and they brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people were saved. And so that means that Timothy's mom and grandmother heard the gospel and they too were saved through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not the first time they heard the scriptures. And it wasn't the first time young Timothy heard the scriptures either, because he was trained up in the scriptures even from infancy, even from when he was a little baby. His mom and his grandmother, who were Jews, trained them up in the Old Testament scriptures. And then they heard the gospel and then they said, he has Christ, the fulfillment of all that we see in the Old Testament. And so how important it is for parents to teach their children the scriptures, to train them up, and not leave it up just to the church to do. And that's a big, big deal at our church. We believe in training up children, having children's ministry, and training them up in the service. We have our service is not just for adults or for seniors or for juniors, it's for everyone. But we believe in training up the people in our church. But it's not the church's role to train up the children the way they should go. The church plays a part. It's the parents' role. It's the role of the household in the home to train up the children in the way they should go. And so we encourage parents to read the scriptures and study the scriptures at home with your children. Look at what Proverbs 22 and Deuteronomy 11 say about that.
You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
Now, just recently, I was talking to a colleague and good friend in the ministry, and he had just lost his wife through COVID. He had just buried an elder who was a good friend of his from COVID, and he was really, really distraught. And he told me that his wife, there were four siblings, and the wife, they heard that the one of the sisters was given only 2 months to live. And within 8 months, all the other sisters died. All the sisters died in 8 months. And the one that was told she had 2 months to live, she's still alive today, but she's still pretty sick. And so this family had faced so much in such a short span of time. And in losing his wife, in losing all his sisters-in-law, in losing his friend, an elder in the ministry, he said, you know, Greg, what breaks my heart the most, he says, this is not just this great loss, but it's that my children are not walking with the Lord. Here, this good friend of mine, a pastor, said, Greg, a regret I have, he said, I gave so much to the church to the neglect of my own children. You see, are we to train up our children in the way they should go? Teaching them the scriptures is so important. But folks, not just teaching the scriptures, but then discipling in how to apply those scriptures. What does it look like? And folks, parents, if we don't set that example to our children, they're not going to have an example. They're going to have an example to follow. If their example to follow is, well, we'll skip church all the time and we'll play hooky, guess what's going to happen to your kids? They're not going to see church as important. If they don't see you in gospel witnessing or praying for the lost, praying for family members and friends and neighbors who don't know Christ, praying for missionaries and so on, if they don't see you helping and getting involved, they're not going to want to do those things themselves either. Family is so important. And folks, today there are so many distractions. That distract us from quality time with our families. We've got computers and phones and tablets and work and TV and all these kinds of things that can create so many distractions, and we end up not spending quality time. I remember years ago, when I was an associate pastor, the senior pastor said to me, "Hey, I got to play catch with my son for the first time before he went off to college." For the first time before he went off to college. Folks, we need to spend quality time with our children. I remember years ago, my own son, it was amazing. I read the same thing in a magazine, the same words, and my own son used these words on me. And that was, Alex was around, he was just a little guy, and I was on my computer, and he came in and he said, "Hey, Dad," he said, "look at this. Dad, listen to this." And I said, "Yeah, I'm listening." And he said, "No, Dad, listen to this." I said, yes, I'm listening. He said, "Dad, you need to listen with your eyes. You see, you're not giving me your attention, Dad. You need to listen with your eyes." How important it is to spend quality time with our children, because we can be so full of distractions in this day and age. You know, I did a funeral for a deacon some years ago. And when I do in these funerals, I often sit down with the family and I say to them, "So tell me about this." And I ask questions to do in the eulogy, to put into the eulogy. And I'll ask a question about what's their favorite place and where do they like to go and vacation and so on. And then we say the scriptures and what was their favorite passage of scripture or favorite book of the Bible or that kind of thing. And so when we started talking about biblical things and this person's spirituality, the response of the family, I'll never forget. Both the wife and the children said, "You know, I don't ever think we ever saw Dad reading his Bible. I never saw my husband reading his Bible." Folks, men, as the spiritual heads, we need to set that example. Not only reading the Bible ourselves, but talking to our families about the Bible together. Here for Timothy, Timothy's father was a Gentile. He was a Greek. Now, men are meant to be the spiritual homes, but this uncircumcised Gentile was not a Jew. He didn't train up his child in the way he should go, in the ways of the scriptures. And so his mother and his grandmother, they took up the mantle and they trained up Timothy in the way he should go in the Old Testament. And by the time Paul came through, this young man was a perfect candidate for this ministry. And countless people know the gospel today because of young Timothy going with the Apostle Paul. Oh, how the Lord wants to use us in ministry. But like we said, if you don't step up to the plate, if you're not the one, then the Lord's going to choose someone else. Moms, if your husbands aren't training up the children, if you're married to someone that's not a Christian, or you're a single person and you have got children or grandchildren or kids that you're responsible for in some way, shape, or form, then you pick up the mantle and you train them up in the way they should go. My wife, Lucy, her dad is not a Christian, but her mother became a Christian some years after she got married, and she would take her three kids with her to church on Sundays, and she would spend time teaching her children at home, teaching them the Bible. Train up our child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. Now, let me tell you something. That is not a promise from Scripture. That is a principle of Scripture. Because I do know many people who have been faithful in training up their children and faithful in their church attendance and bringing their kids to church. But still, today, those kids are not walking with the Lord. And so it's not a promise, but it's a principle that if you train up the child, when he grows up, he will not depart from it. But in some cases, that's not always the case. And then let's pray for one another who have children who are not walking with the Lord. But you know what? If you train them up in the way they should go, they've got a firm foundation in the faith that the Lord, when he turns them around, they've got so much to remember. That seed that's been planted, those seeds that have been planted in that soil, for that just to change and to spring up and to come and follow the Lord. And so let's encourage one another to pray with one another about that. Because I know we have several folks in our congregation even that are in a situation like that. So Paul takes young Timothy and he circumcises this young man who's, as we said, is his late teens, his early 20s. And he circumcises him at that age. You know, the Jews were circumcised at 8 days old, the Jewish boys. And today, males are circumcised on the first or second day of their life. So to be circumcised at this late time, as a late teen or a young adult, that's a big, big deal. Why would they do something like this? Well, it was so that he would be most effective in ministry for both the Jews and the Gentiles. You see, Timothy was both. His father was a Gentile. His mother and his grandmother were Greek. And so now he could be very effective ministering to Gentiles and to the Jews. But remember Paul and Silas? They were both Jews and they were Roman citizens as well. And so this is part of their strategy. Remember the strategy of Paul and Barnabas even? It's the same strategy of Paul and Silas. They begin in the synagogues. They begin with the Jews first. If they began with the Gentiles, the Jews in that town would say, well, this is a Gentile religion. We want nothing to do with it. So they begin with the Jews. They're going to take Timothy with them. Everybody knew in his hometown, everyone knew in the big city of Iconium, where they were going to next, that his dad was a Gentile. And so for them to actually be open to accept him into the synagogue and hearing what they have to say, he would have to be a Jew first. And now they would consider Timothy Jewish as well. So this was a strategy, and he was willing to do it. That was a big deal for this young man, but he was willing to do it for the sake of the gospel. Have you heard that before? That's the title of the sermon, for the sake of the gospel. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, for I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some.
Thank you. So Paul, Silas, Timothy, all three of them, had every right not to be bound to the law. They've been set free in Jesus Christ. They have every right not to be bound to ceremonies, not to be bound to traditions or rituals or anything like that, because they are free from the law because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. But for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ and their Christian witness, for the sake of loving others as you love yourself, in outreach and gospel outreach, they surrendered their rights. They surrendered their freedoms for the sake of the gospel. So as Paul said, so that by all possible means, we might save some. Wow. Folks, young Timothy, this young man didn't argue. He didn't run away. He was the right man at the right time. And he said, yes, Lord, I will do this, for I will go for the sake of the gospel. I will do, as Paul said, by whatever possible means, whatever I need to do, that I might save some. How about you? Will you do? Are you up to that task? Lord, by whatever possible means, so that I might save some, so that you might save some through me and my gospel witness. Never to compromise your truth, never to compromise your word. But yes, I'll compromise my rights. Yes, I will surrender my rights. I will surrender my will. Why? For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of love. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 to 5. Let's look at our last text for today.
As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance and decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily.
So they did exactly what they set out to do. They took that letter, they took it up to those churches, and they strengthened the churches. But notice, not only were the churches strengthened, but what happened? Were some saved for the sake of the gospel because of their witness? The church increased in number daily. Not only some were saved, tons were saved, because they were all things to all men for the sake of the gospel. I end with this story and this illustration. You may remember I told you a little time ago about my first church where I was became a Christian and I went to this church, and there was a man at the door. We called him Uncle Henny. Now, Uncle Henny was a big strapping man with a big old white smile, big old hands, and he'd shake your hand and welcome every single person that came through that door. But Uncle Henny had a huge heart, not only for people, but a huge heart for the gospel. And what happened one night was Uncle Henny's daughter, who had now graduated from school and she'd gone on, now the whole world was her oyster as this young woman, and to say, what are you going to do in this world? And one night, as she was driving in a car, a drunk man came and ran a red light, and he T-boned her, and she died. And Uncle Henny had every right to be angry, right? Every right. So many times we'd think, man, he had every right to become angry with that man, every right to become angry even with God, every right, some of us would even say in our hearts, to pick up a stick and want to beat that guy black and blue. Every right is that. That's how we feel, right? It's my right to do this. But you know what? He gave up what he thought was his rights. And he even gave up what were his rights to be angry with this man. You know what he did? He went to that jail cell, to the prison. And he went and he sat with that man. And he said, I'm going there to forgive that man. Not only to forgive him, but to share the gospel with him. And he did. Why? Because he said, I'm going to tell you a story. I forgive you. And I want to tell you a story of the greatest forgiveness known to man, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He won to Christ that night. My friends, are you willing to give up your rights as Uncle Henny did, as Timothy did, as Silas did, as the Apostle Paul did, so that we could be all things to all men? Why? For the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the great love and great forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Christ, who was in heaven and had every right to hang on to his possession and not let go. Yet he let go of his position of being God, fully God. And now he became truly God, but truly man as well, for the sake of the gospel. Lord, help us to learn from Uncle Henny, from young Timothy, from Silas, from the Apostle Paul, and most of all from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would become all things to all men, so as to win some. For your glory we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of his people said, Amen. Amen. All right, folks, let's have a 3-minute break and we'll come back for our verse of the month and then our 5x5.